This morning's Bible reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, if you haven't met me, my name is Klaus, and I wanted to start by showing you this. Anyone knows what this is? Everyone knows what this is. It's a USB stick. I think it looks pretty slick, and it's actually a new USB stick. I recently bought it, and usually when you buy these kinds of things, you probably know just as much as I do that you get a lot of pretty useless software on it, except this time I scored a real winner. One of the applications that was on my USB stick was a password manager, which creates passwords like this one. Pretty random, and that's really great, I think, because at last I'm not having to recycle the same password over and over again. Probably the same thing that you do. Something like Jude, that's my wife's name, Jude 01 or something like that. 01 is when we got married. Online security, IT security, is a big issue these days, isn't it? Lots of people are concerned where their data is going when they put it on Facebook or Google Plus. Or if you're not concerned, maybe you should be, because you might, need to wonder, what's going to happen with my identity if someone steals my password? And of course, IT security is only one area of many. There's international security, national security, public security, social security, home security, food security, even these days with horse meat in our food, internet security, credit card and banking security. The list goes on so long, that when you start thinking about all the potential security threats in our lives, you might even get a phobia of life itself. Or maybe that's just, slow down. Or maybe that's just because I'm an excited German. German angst is, of course, this well-known term, this irrational, diffuse fear of the future that seems to characterize us perhaps more than other nations. I'm not sure, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. But even if you're not a German, you might be interested in the following slide where you can see the fear index for Germany. The fear index measures what percentage of the population has great or very great fear in one or more areas of life. Now, the bad news for the insurance sector, which is commissioning these kinds of research, is that we're nearly at an all-time low in 2012, with 40% of the population having great or very great fear. Just think about this figure for a moment. 40%. 40% of the population feel great or very great fear, be it loss of job or the overall economic outlook, health, loneliness, relationship breakup, issues to do with old age. Put five people in a room and two of them are likely to feel a substantial lack of security. And even if we are not one of them, we only need to look at our own lives to realize that we too take safety and security very seriously, often without even noticing. Whether it's crossing the road or taking out a loan, whether it's driving a car or going for a health checkup, security, being safe, is a core concern in our daily lives and part even of what it means to live wisely. Now, I'd like us to consider this. Think how much time and energy we invest in making our life here as secure as possible. And compare that with how much time and energy we invest in making our life secure beyond our grave. The only thing that's certain in life is death. It's a well-known saying. But what happens when we die? Most people believe that death is not the end, but how do we know that we are secure beyond death, beyond this last journey when there is no return? When we return to God our Maker, how can we be sure that we are secure with Him? I suspect these are the kinds of questions that which when you start wondering about security that lasts not just this 70 or 80 year span of our lives here on earth, these kinds of questions, if you're asking them, then Easter is for you. At Easter, we celebrate that Jesus Christ died on the cross and 3 days later rose back from the dead. And what I'd like to show this morning is that in the events of Easter, God has taken all the necessary steps to secure a future for us, which doesn't end when we die. So in case you were wondering what the point was of my little USB stick at Easter, there is a security concern that goes beyond password managers, IT security, that reaches for all eternity. At Easter, God Himself has provided security for a life which lasts forever. And with this in mind, let's turn to God's word in Colossians 1, which we read before and is on page 1183, where the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, tells us about the eternal security God has established for us. The letter to the Colossians was written to people in the city of Colossae not long after the first events of Easter, only 20 or 30 years. It was written to people who had come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when we begin to unpack this letter, we see just how much this step of trusting in Jesus Christ has achieved to bring the believers in Colossae into safety. Let's start at verse 13, where we started reading before. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The beloved Son, here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we might paraphrase what Paul is telling the Colossian believers here by saying, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then God has delivered you out of great danger. He has rescued you and moved you from the threatening and dangerous domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son, where you enjoy the complete safety and security which only God can provide in His kingdom. What's so bad about this domain of darkness? Why do people need rescuing out of it? 2 points are important. First of all, the Bible associates God with light, whereas darkness, on the other hand, signifies the absence of God, hostility to God. The domain of darkness is hostile to God because the people in it live their lives saying things like, God, I don't need you. Or, God, I don't like you. Or, just, God, I don't care about you. When people think about God in this way, that's what the Bible calls sin, and that's what people need rescuing from. It's all too obvious that people who reject God in this way are caught in the domain of darkness, caught in hostility towards God, because they do not accept who God is. What we need to understand, then, is that this kind of rejection of God is the one and biggest security threat to us. No one can be secure with the Almighty God as their enemy. Hostility to the one who gives life to everything means exposing our very lives to an incredible risk. It's a huge risk and a scary thought which might be difficult to consider and recognize that, well, perhaps we haven't treated God the way he deserves in our own lives. Treated him as the one who holds our lives in his hands every second of the day. So this was the first point. Doesn't exactly sound good, but the second point is really good news. And we see that in the second part of our first reading, verse 14, and that is that God is in the business of redeeming people. While the guilt of rejecting God stands between him and human beings, well, there can't be peace. There's guilt. There's a need for judgment and punishment. There needs to be, first of all, a change of mind, people seeking reconciliation with God, God seeking reconciliation with people, but that's not enough. There also needs to be forgiveness of guilt, forgiveness of sin. And that's what it means to be redeemed and to be brought into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Our greatest security threat is hostility towards God. But as we'll see, God himself has acted to remove the threat. So we might say, God himself is actually in the security business. There are a lot of security business and they're in for money, but God is in the security business to snatch people out of great danger and placing them into the safety of his own kingdom for their sake. Paul says, God is doing that through Jesus Christ. Through him, God has provided ultimate security. Now, sometimes you meet people and they ask, what's the big deal with Jesus? Why are Christians so obsessed with this one man? But when we look at the following verses from verse 15, the answer is brought into sharp focus. Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He's no man like anyone else. When we look at how he's described from verse 15, it becomes clear that Jesus is the man at the heart of the universe. Let's read from verse 15. He, Jesus Christ that is, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Five reasons we're given here where we see the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And I think I only have four here. Five things. The first one, all things were created in Christ. The second one, all things were created through Christ. He's the one through whom God created the universe. And the third one relates to all things were created through him and for him. So things are meant to be for Christ. And the third one, before all things, there is Christ. Christ is before all things. And the last one, in Him, only in Him, all things in creation hold together. All things. Jesus Christ is at the center of all things. All things hold together in Him. All things come from His hand. All things are for Him. If we eat, we eat what He gives us. If we drink, we drink because He provides. If we enjoy life, it's because He is good to us. If we're struggling, Jesus Christ alone can give us eternal security. Even when our lives implode, He and only He can hold all things together. Jesus Christ has ultimate control, and that's why only He can be our ultimate security. Jesus Christ is the man at the heart of the universe. But He doesn't sit somewhere aloof as though He didn't care. He uses His power for our benefit, and He gives up His power and even His own life to rescue those who in fact rejected Him. All things were created for Christ, but in a stunning reversal, Christ died for His creatures, for those who were alienated from Him and hostile toward Him. That's what happened at the cross. We saw before that there is a need for forgiveness, forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of guilt for those who rejected God. Those who rejected the life giver deserve physical death and then face God's judgment. But Jesus died in our place to take that judgment from us. So that forgiveness from God is secure for all who trust in the death of Christ. Without the death of Christ, no one could be forgiven, and we all would still find ourselves in the domain of darkness and hostility towards God. But Jesus Christ died as the man at the heart of the universe, and that choice of God still stands. When Jesus Christ carried His cross up to His shameful and horrendously cruel execution on Good Friday, He was no less the man at the heart of the universe than any other time for all eternity. Nothing can change that, not even His death. And so after the completion of His mission to make forgiveness possible for God's enemies, God raised His beloved Son back to life. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. He's now not just at the center of all of creation, but more importantly, He's at the center of the new kingdom. He's the man in charge of God's kingdom, and that's what Easter is all about. Let's read from verse 18. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. One thing should be clear by now. God wants Jesus to be preeminent. He wants Jesus to be the first and most important person of the universe in every regard. All of God's fullness lives in Jesus. That means Jesus is fully God. In Jesus, full humanity and full divinity meet. This man has all the power of God at his disposal. He was raised from the dead, and now he's the head of the body, the church, as we just read. That's a different, more organic picture to express the same reality we saw before, that Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Now Jesus is the head of the body. You see, being in the kingdom of God's beloved Son means understanding and embracing the reality that Jesus Christ is the man at the center of the universe and the man through whom God has made peace possible by the blood of his cross. But it also means for those who are part of the body, part of the kingdom, that if the head is alive, if the head has come back to life from the dead, God will certainly not leave the body dead. God gives new and eternal life to all who are connected to Christ, as a body is connected to its head. And when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday, we are also celebrating that he's the one who has power to make everything new, to give new life to those who embrace who he is and what he has done. Those, in other words, who seek to be connected to him as a body is connected to the head by the forgiveness of the sins. All who are connected to Christ in this way live in the security of knowing that they have a new and eternal life with him. So let me ask you, are you connected to the man at the heart of the universe? Are you part of the body of Jesus Christ? If you are part of the body of Jesus Christ, you have security, ultimate security, the security of knowing that even death, your worst enemy if you like, even death cannot ultimately harm you. Just as Christ rose from the dead, so you have already been given new life. And physical death will no longer ultimately be a threat to your existence. It'll be more like a doorway to fully enter the presence of God, the kingdom of God, and enjoy eternal life with him. But it may be that you're still seeking that kind of security, security that lasts beyond death, knowing that death is not the final word, knowing that you are at peace with God. There is no security unless we're at peace with God. Well, if that's the case, let's read on from verse 21 to 23. Halfway through to 23, actually. From 21. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. There's great hope in this message that Christ died for our sins and that he rose again to new life, to give us new life. By his death, Jesus Christ has reconciled people who know and acknowledge that they have been alienated from God and hostile in mind towards him. Jesus didn't die for people, for good people to be in the church. Jesus Christ died for people who know they were enemies of God. The church is full of people who know that they once have been enemies of God. Out of step with the one who holds the universe together. So Christ died that people might have the eternal security of a peaceful relationship with God. And he rose again so that he might be the head of those who are connected to him by a relationship of trust, of faith. And as our head, Jesus Christ wants to steer us through the insecurities and storms of life, the threats and struggles and difficulties of this life, Only he can provide eternal security, because all power and authority over all things rest with him. He is the man at the heart of the universe. So trust in him and your future with God is secure, from now to all eternity. It may be that you've never realized before the power and status of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've never considered the eternal security Jesus Christ wants to give you. He's not holding back. He wants to give it to you by trusting in him. So can I urge you today to consider your own personal need to be secure and at peace with God? If you recognize this need, I would like to invite you to get connected to Jesus Christ. Don't be separated from your life giver, from the one who's at the center of the universe any longer. And if that's the case, I have a prayer up on the beamer here, which I'd like you to have a look at. Perhaps they're the words that you feel right now. And in a minute, I'll say them slowly so that you can repeat them in the quietness of your own mind. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the person at the heart of the universe. I'm sorry for ignoring you in my life and not living for you. Please forgive me. Thank you that you died for me on the cross to make peace between God the Father and me. Please help me to trust in you from now on and to live as part of your body. Amen. If you've just prayed this prayer, you've just declared before God that you've accepted Christ's offer of redemption and forgiveness of sins. The offer that he won by his death on the cross. It's wonderful news. God has transferred you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and you may not feel any different, but God has given you new life, which is eternally secure with Christ. You've just become part of the body of Christ. So you might tell other people here at LEC what happened, and they'll rejoice with you to know that you now have peace with God and that you're connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure you let someone know if you just pray that prayer for the first time. It may be that you didn't feel quite ready for this prayer. There may be something that's stopping you, something you might like to think about or talk about. Maybe you'd like to ask questions later from someone here to find out more. And if that's the case, you may be pleased to know that LEC is offering a course called Christianity Explored, not just in English, but also in German. In German it's called Christsein Entdecken. And perhaps you might like to consider talking to me or Martin afterwards if you're interested in joining the course in English or German. But whatever the case, I hope you won't miss the opportunity of your life to get connected to the man at the heart of the universe. Because in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, God reconciled to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross.